The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert. Here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com. Peaksofhealth.com.
Aaron Jacobson, Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Hope you're all having a fantastic week. I want you all to check out the website when we get started here. Peaksofhealth.com, 727-826-0838 is the number. You want to check out that website because everything we're going to be talking about today, you can find on that website. And a great show today, Dr. Tracy, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this show.
This show, we're going to have Dr. Oz on, and I'm sure you all have seen Dr. Oz either on television, seen some of his work out there, maybe seen heard him on the radio, but he will be on the Dr. Tracy Show today. Now, how did you get us in touch with Dr. Oz, Dr. Tracy?
Well, I've been doing his Health Minutes for quite some time. You know, it was really an interesting story how this came about. I was doing another radio show, and he was looking for an integrative doctor in the Tampa Bay area. And, you know, I was asked to come meet him. So I met him at the studios and I thought it was a meet and greet, shake your hand, goodbye type thing. And it turned out to be 3 hours. We sat down and we just talked. The first 2 hours, he was asking me all kinds of questions about medicine and how I treat things and what I do and that kind of thing.
Sometimes great to go into something with not the highest of expectations.
Exactly. Because I didn't realize it was kind of like an interview.
Yeah. So, clearly you nailed it.
Clearly I nailed it. So at the end, you know, for the last hour, we just kind of conversed and talked about, you know, social issues and, you know, our lives and, you know, how he got into this kind of medicine and what made him excited about it. And at the end of it, he goes, come on, we got to go. And I'm like, well, where are we going? We take the elevators, we go down to the studios and he's being interviewed on the daytime show. And I just sat in the audience and I'm just watching the interview go. And he gets to a segment that says, you know, well, for this kind of medicine, you kind of need an integrative medicine specialist. And Dr. Tracy Lenhart is one of the leading ones in Tampa Bay area. I almost fell off my seat.
Wow.
I didn't see it coming at all, you know, and it was, you know, it was an amazing day, you know, but it just meeting him was really amazing. It really reinforced, you know, how intelligent he is, how down to earth he is, and how nice he is and how he really is genuinely trying to help change people's lives.
And if you've seen him on the Dr. Oz show, you can see it. It all comes through the television. What do you guys have in common? What made you think that you and Dr. Oz were a good pairing?
Well, you know, one, my mom tells me all about him all the time. She listens to his show constantly. So, you know, and he actually really, really likes to promote integrative medicine, you know. And when I asked him how he got into it, because, you know, most people don't know, he is a cardiovascular surgeon. He is a heart surgeon. And this is, and he still practices cardiovascular surgery. He still operates on patients. You know, so why would somebody who does that get into this kind of medicine? And, you know, he told me the story of he went to his wife, you know, kind of complaining that if his patients would just change their lifestyle, they wouldn't end up on his table more than one time. You know, I guess he was operating on the same person for the third time. And, you know, she goes, well, if that's the case, then teach them how to do it. You know, put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And so his wife's a dietitian who helped him write this book for his patients after their surgeries. And it became, you know, very popular. And so apparently one of his patients sent a copy of it to Oprah. And then he was invited on the Oprah show. And that's kind of like all he wrote. He goes, my life hasn't been the same ever since.
Amazing how something's happened.
And it's just kind of progressed from that, you know. So he's gotten very interested into how, you know, what integrative medicine is all about. Finding what's going on and fixing the problem before it becomes the big problem. You know, lifestyle plays a huge role in how you diet and how you eat, but nutrition plays a new huge role in it and trying to get ahead of the disease and finding it early in, like finding diabetes long before the patient becomes diabetic and correcting it. You know, and we know cardiovascular disease is severely caused by that kind of stuff.
So when did you meet Dr. Oz? What year was this, give or take?
It was about 4 years ago.
Now, what's happened? How is the relationship blossomed since this meeting 4 years ago?
Well, I mean, he's an unbelievably busy guy, and he knows a lot of doctors. But, you know, we do communicate through personal emails occasionally. If I find an article that's really important or really interesting, I'll send it to him. And that's really how I did manage to get him for the show, is I just sent him an email and asked him to be on the show, actually, so it's been easier to communicate that way. And as I said, he's been very, very gracious. I got to go to a couple events that he's done in the Tampa Bay region. So when he's usually here, I'll be able to, I usually attend that event, and so I've gotten to meet him quite a few times, but it's, he is a consummate professional, and he's, as I said, he's a very, very nice guy. And I was very surprised that he does answer his own emails when you send it to his personal one. The first time I sent one and said, hey, it was nice meeting you, I actually got a response. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Not some notarized emails from a publicist or something.
Exactly.
Now, what do you think, Dr. Oz, why do you think it's important to bring Dr. Oz on for our listeners, the Dr. Tracy Show listeners here on 970 WFLA? What kind of information do you think Dr. Oz will give them, will relay to them, that's of utmost importance?
Well, I think one of the things is, as I said, he really does try to bring some of this information to the forefront. He really tries to give his listeners what's the latest out there, and he tries to really promote good health, good, proper nutrition, proper hygiene, the things you need to keep your body healthy, and all the little tricks that we use sometimes and what we can do to kind of improve it.
And I'm just glancing at his Wikipedia page. Of course, Wikipedia, you don't know if you can always trust it, but for the most part, they're pretty good. And 100 most influential people, he's on that list in 2008.
I know people just do gravitate towards, him. And I think, again, I think it's because he's so genuine as he comes across. And I think people can recognize that. But he is an unbelievably intelligent, surgeon, and really a really intelligent physician who has been able to put the pieces together.
You've done pretty well when Healthy Living describes you as one of the healers of the millennium.
I know. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's like thriving to just be able to do a fraction for the world of what he's done, to try to communicate that information to other people.
And it's going to be great to have him for all you guys on our with our next segment on the Dr. Tracy Show. What are the things, what have you learned from Dr. Oz that you might have not known before your encounters?
I think, being able to watch him, he told me something that really struck me. One of the stories that he told me, because I asked him, he goes, when he first started, he would listen, but he would kind of like semi-interrupt type things and try to get his point across. He'd be thinking about what he wanted to say next. And Oprah kind of told him, he goes, people just want to hear that you're listening. They just want to know that you're there and you're listening. So he goes, he just learned to kind of sit back and listen, and I think that, that kind of thought process really also, I started trying to do that with my patients. Just put the computer down for a second and just sit back and listen to them. And it's amazing the extra information you get from the person, because now they know that you're genuinely connecting with them.
Yep. And I think it's easier for you guys. That's why Dr. Oz comes across as such a personable person on TV, because he learned that trait of just being able to sit back, talk to his patients, be able to listen to his patients, and then you can translate that to television. And like you are with radio, to be able to sit back and listen to any of our guests that we have on, I think it's an important quality, something you clearly picked up from Dr. Oz.
Yeah, exactly. And he picked it up hopefully from Oprah.
not a
We passed the good part along.
Absolutely. Now, what else do you think you're going to get into when we talk to Dr. Oz? Because obviously somebody that you thought would be very influential for our listeners.
Well, I think a lot of it is also, he partakes into so much information. He really tries to give everybody something, for all the different things that he does and different shows that he does. But he goes around traveling a lot to kind of promote, integrative medicine. He really tries to get people to understand that there are alternatives to traditional medication and traditional medicine. We practice both at our clinic. So, and again, same thing, he practices both. But in order to change physiology, it's usually not a drug that does it. It's usually lifestyle and replacing the things the body naturally uses.
If you're just joining us, this is the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com, and give them a call as well. You can get a free 15-minute consultation, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. We're going to have Dr. Oz joining us in the next segment. It's going to be a great segment, so you definitely want to hang tight. What are some of those alternatives that we're going to be talking about, Dr. Tracy?
Well, again, nutrition. Nutrition plays a huge role. We forget that these are the things that give our body the chemical reactions it needs to function. You know, these are the cofactors to all those reactions. And just eating properly, taking proper supplementation, if your body needs more of it because you're not getting it through your diet, can totally alter how your body functions. And that's a simple thing. That's not, you know, that's not a major thing. That's just a simple thing.
And a lot of these things we talk about, I feel like some of them, they seem like monumental shifts in your life, but they're really not.
They're not. It's, you know, putting, allowing your body to function at its peak, you know, giving it, you know, kind of like trying to bake a cake. If you put the wrong ingredients in, you're not going to get a very good cake.
Yeah, my cakes.
Yeah. If you don't put yeast in there or anything, it's not going to rise at all. You're going to have flat cake. So, you know, it's putting the proper ingredients in so your body can actually make that great, well, I hate to say cake because we shouldn't be eating it, but you know, that great recipe, you know. So it's giving, you know, just being able to put what your body needs to function properly.
And everybody's different. Everyone's going to have to take a different approach to this to get the results they want.
Well, exactly. In some of our patients, we found one patient recently that, you know, we looked at her genetics. We actually ran a genetic test on her. She cannot make vitamin B12 for the saver. She cannot absorb it. She cannot process it. She cannot make it. Zero.
Where is that an easier thing for other people to do?
That is something most people can do pretty well.
Okay.
You know, for her, she can't do it at all. We started giving her B12 injections, and within weeks, it was an amazing turnaround for that patient.
That's all it took was a couple weeks, B12, and
that's
they were
all
good
it
to
took.
Go. So sometimes that's why it's important to go out there. If you don't even think you have a problem, you have to go out there and check it out. Get the research, get the test done, and Dr. Tracy is the perfect person to see. You can go check out their website as well, peaksofhealth.com. That's peaksofhealth.com. 727-826-0838 is the number. We are going to be talking with that special guest, Dr. Oz, on the next segment with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Stay tuned for Dr. Oz next. Welcome back to the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Hope you are enjoying your weekend. Want to get right to it here. We got a very special guest, and also like to tell you, check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. We got a very special guest right now. Dr. Tracy was able to get her old friend, her old pal, Dr. Oz on. Many of you see Dr. Oz. He's got his television show. He's got a bunch of books out, but really some great information from Dr. Oz, and Dr. Tracy wanted to get Dr. Oz, so thank you so much. Dr. Oz joining us right now.
I wanted to kind of ask you some questions about how you got into integrative medicine, because that's what I practice, and everybody's so excited about your show and your story on that.
Well, you're good at it, and I thank you for being involved in integrative approaches to healing people. Here's my take on this. We have a global finance system where you can get money out of the bank machines, any currency, any country. We have global media. You know, your radio show, my TV show, you can see it in, you know, 100 countries. But medicine has never been global. Medicine is very provincial. In fact, you practice medicine differently in Orlando than you do in Miami, than you do in New York, than you do in Berlin, than you do in Beijing. And so different people in different parts of the world get exposed to different types of therapies for the same problems, headaches, nausea, weight loss, whatever it might be. So my belief always was that we would globalize the practice of medicine. We would take the best ideas, no matter where they came from, and bring them together to make them accessible to anybody when they don't feel well. And that is the use of integrative medicine. That is bringing and integrating other experiences, even if they're not conventionally taught in medical school, into the practice of medicine.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked, because we all have our own story of how we got involved in this, and most people know mine was because I became diabetic and learned how to reverse it. You know, it's really important to learn how to do those different tools in the toolbox, so to speak, and diet being a huge part of it, and we kind of forget that portion.
Well, you bring up diabetes, and interestingly, I was approached this week, literally this week, by the American Diabetic Association, the American Medical Association, the CDC, and Ad Council, because they're doing this big campaign to get people to realize if they're at risk for type 2 diabetes, because 1 in 3 people listening right now have prediabetes. And I was sort of stunned that all these different medical groups are coming together, and they're actually more than willing to look at alternative and integrative approaches to get people to pay attention to their weight, because they know, as you have experienced in your own life, that with weight management and with some wise eating decisions, a lot of folks, most people, in fact, based on the data we have, can either reverse or improve the status of their type 2 diabetes.
Exactly. And I think that's a big part of integrative medicine, the why. I always think it's the why, not the what sometimes.
Yeah, the why is you have to ask the right questions. You know, if you ask the wrong questions, you'll never get the right answers.
Yeah, most people don't realize that you're basically a cardiovascular surgeon and got into this because your own patients were having trouble staying off your table more than once. Because that was the story, you know, when you and I first met that we talked about, and it really intrigued me.
Well, you have a good memory. As a surgeon, and you're right, I'm a heart surgeon, I spent a good part of my life trying to heal with steel. And then you realize that the patients didn't read the books they should have read. In fact, they didn't even read the books you read. They have very different perspectives on their health, and it's a little disheartening, pardon the pun, to take someone to the operating room when you know they could have avoided the need for surgery if only you could have gotten to them a little earlier, if only there was a little wisdom you could have passed along. It was the reason I began doing anything in media. It was never my vision to have a host a show. I just wanted to do things with Oprah and, you know, write some books and get people just to have the tools. But then you realize the average person needs a pep talk, too. They need the motivation to pay attention to what you know in your heart's true, but they may never have been told. Most people aren't sick because they're fools. They're sick because they don't know some of the simple things they could do to be healthy. And sometimes in America, we make it hard for people to do the right thing. We make it more challenging for them to eat the right foods and to make the right activity decisions and to deal with the stress in a more fruitful way.
There are a lot of alternatives out there, not just conventional medicine.
Oh, there's lots, not just alternative approaches to healing, but also practitioners who are not in the conventional mode. And that doesn't mean that there aren't some bad things out there. I mean, you do want to double check what you're doing. And I always tell people to get a second opinion, because second opinions, although we only get them 10% of the time, will change the diagnosis of the therapy 1/3 of the time. Listen carefully to that. I'll say it again. 1 in 3 times, a second opinion will be different in its diagnosis or treatment recommendation than your first opinion. It doesn't mean that one guy's a fool and one guy's a charlatan. It just means that people have different approaches to taking care of patients. You might as well hear both approaches and then triangulate it. Have the two talk to each other, and you do what's right for you personally.
I give them several options. There isn't just one way or one pathway to get treatment for the condition.
Well, that's what makes you special, because most patients feel intimidated by even having that conversation, and it's the opposite. I just taped a show dealing with some bad doctors, the doctors who weren't doing the right thing. These people have subsequently been arrested, or there's one actually in Florida, a young man, 18-year-old, was claiming to be a physician, and he wasn't. And many of the people who were taking advantage of him never asked a second question. They never asked the deeper questions, sort of like a mom would do, right? When a mom asks the kids how things are going, they say fine. They don't just stop. They ask the next question. I think we have that obligation to our own bodies as well.
Yeah, I think that plays a huge role, doing a really good history and letting the patient actually talk to you. I mean, that becomes a big issue.
Yeah, we don't hear so well as doctors, and we interrupt our patients within 23 seconds, which is a published data reality. So it's something that we can improve on as docs. But listen, patients can make it easier as well by writing down their questions ahead of time. Make a copy for your doctor. When you go to your doctor's office, give them a copy of your questions. That way, listen, we got through medical school, Tracy, me, you, and everybody else, by doing our homework. So if you have your homework given to you by your patient, you'll get your homework done. You could go through all those questions. You might do them in a different order, but you will get through those questions one way or another. And by doing that, the patient will have a better experience. You'll feel your day was more efficient as a doctor. Everyone's happier. So jot your questions down ahead of time.
That's a really good advice for the patients, too. And I try to explain that to some of my patients. You know, when you get into healthcare and when you get into, you know, your show, it's just amazing about how many different things you can touch on and how many people you've touched. And that's one of the things, you know, that we talked about before was, you know, Oprah teaching you that kind of listen. And I think that's the art we lose sometimes.
Yeah, we can't fix a feeling until we hear it. And it is the biggest mistake we make. And a lot of times, of course, patients don't need us to prescribe something. They just want to be heard. 50% of visits to doctors, to primary care physicians, are for emotional issues that need to be addressed. It doesn't mean the problem is in the patient's head. It means there's a problem, and it includes the patient's head. So listen to them, talk to them, and you as a patient should feel comfortable. Listen, Tracy, I've enjoyed being with you. As you know, with our colleagues at iHeart, they keep you on a tight schedule, and they're pounding on me to go to my next interview. But I've enjoyed talking to you. I look forward to seeing you again in person.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to it, too.
Take care.
Bye.
That, of course, Dr. Oz, and thank you so much, Dr. Oz, for joining us on the Dr. Tracy Show. We're going to recap that Dr. Oz interview on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Always great when you have a really good guest like we just did on the Dr. Tracy Show, Dr. Oz. And I want to thank Dr. Tracy for inviting Dr. Oz on the Dr. Tracy Show. What a great guest.
Yeah, it was a really good interview, and I really enjoyed it. And I mean, as I said, you know, he has been an inspiration to me in terms of, you know, how he keeps everything together, how he keeps his schedule together. And I've never, you know, he's always so nice.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you see him on TV and kind of you can get a little starstruck or when you hear that voice, you know, you shake up a little bit, but really nice guy and great to have him on the show. And if you want to join, this is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you want to give them a call and find out any information, anything that Dr. Oz talked about or anything you've ever heard on the program, if you want to give them a call, you'll get a free 15-minute consultation, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. And peakshealth.com is the website. And there's a couple things that Dr. Oz talked about that are really important, and you had touched on it before we talked about it with Dr. Oz. What were your takeaways from that interview?
Well, again, a couple of the big ones is, you know, we'd already talked about how important it is to really listen to your patient, you know, and to just sit back for a second and hear them, hear what they say. Your patient will tell you what's wrong 90% of the time if you just open your ears and take the time to listen.
Yeah, and that's clearly important, and building that relationship with the patient.
Exactly. You know, your patient really has to feel comfortable and trust you in order to follow what you're trying to tell them. And we try to educate a lot. I really do sincerely think that if our patient is educated and they understand why we want to do something, they're more likely to do it.
And diabetes was something that was also touched on.
Diabetes is definitely something that's really, you know, obviously close to me, having been diabetic and having reversed it, you know, and really, we really work on that with our patients. One of the other things that we're, you know, looking at is Alzheimer's. And the link between diabetes and Alzheimer's, because again, something that is very close to me, my father having passed from Alzheimer's, you know, and always kind of thinking, well, he had diabetes and Alzheimer's, I had diabetes. What can I do to help prevent that from ever happening?
And one of the things, like you keep saying, you had diabetes. Some people out there are going, what do you mean you had diabetes? And what we learned from Dr. Oz is that it is, there are types of diabetes that are reversible.
Absolutely. Type 2 diabetes is reversible with lifestyle change and, again, fixing the chemistry in the body. The difference is, you know, instead of my insulin not working anymore, because it is an insulin-resistant state. And what I did is I made my insulin sensitive again. So I worked on the receptor sites. I worked on the sensitivity to the insulin. So what I made was working. My pancreas made more than enough insulin. That wasn't my problem. It didn't work.
So talking about Alzheimer's, what's the connection between the diabetes and the Alzheimer's?
Well, always, Alzheimer's has been called type 3 diabetes. It is that linked into diabetes. But what we found is in a new study that came out, and this is pretty recent, and it was in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, that they actually found the pathway that they believe causes the Alzheimer's from the diabetes. And that becomes really important, because once we know the pathway and we know the mechanism, then we can really work to correct it.
Who are they, or is there a usual suspect for something like Alzheimer's?
Well, there's a lot of theories on Alzheimer's. We do know that it's because of a plaquing that occurs called beta amyloid. And so it's the breakdown. And so we do know that this protein is broken down. And because of that, they form these plaques. And that's the actual instigator for Alzheimer's. What actually causes that has been what has been suspect. You know, they do think that inflammation, they do think certain infections have been associated with Alzheimer's. Things like Lyme and Epstein-Barr virus has been associated with it. But again, diabetes has been one of the forefronts that has been the trigger.
Is there a typical age you'll see someone getting Alzheimer's? Because the cases I've seen, obviously I'm not a doctor, all you know, I'm just the host here, I'm just a layperson. Is there a usual age you'll see someone be more prone to Alzheimer's?
Usually about the sixth decade, the 60s, it starts, you know. But again, Alzheimer's itself, the actual disease, starts earlier. It can start anywhere in the 40s to 50s. It may take about 10 to 20 years for the actual symptoms to start occurring.
To really develop.
So, you know, the patients get those symptoms around in their 60s, where they start forgetting things. They start having trouble remembering short term. They repeatedly ask the same questions. They're driving and they forget where they were driving.
Can you point out those early indications, though? Not in the 60s, in the 40s. Can you pinpoint those?
Not necessarily, but you can pinpoint chemical changes occurring in the body.
Such as
the insulin resistance occurring, such as there's certain changes occurring. You can actually look and do SPECT scans now. There's special radiology scans called a SPECT scan that actually will show Alzheimer's changes in the brain. It looks like Swiss cheese. It looks like little holes going into the metabolism. metabolism of the brain.
No, it's not delicious.
No, it's not. But it is reversible if it's caught early enough, you know, and so that's the whole trick. If you can actually catch some of those things early enough, you can stop some of the progression or, you know, slow that progression down significantly. Or you can, again, if it's caused by diabetes, now that we know what they're finding is, and what it was really interesting was, is that they found that the disease is the insulin has an enzyme that breaks the insulin down. And this enzyme is one of the things that works on this amyloid plaque. And so the higher the insulin level, the more of this enzyme you're using. So there's not enough to keep this amyloid protein there. So the higher the sugars, the higher the insulin levels in these patients, the more likelihood they are to develop the plaquing.
And that's just a diabetic, the insulin resistance. What about people in their 40s, 50s that aren't diabetics and they don't need to worry about that?
But the thing is, they might not be diabetic, but they might be insulin resistant.
How would you know, though, if you're not taking insulin?
But that's the thing. We can actually test for that. So we can find diabetes and insulin resistance 10 years before it actually truly develops.
Wow.
So if we can see that in our patient and see that their insulin levels are running high, then we can actually work on that system to decrease the risk factors.
Definitely go take advantage of that. Check that out. You should do that. PeaksOfHealth.com and go visit them. Peaks of Health Metabolic Center. It's a medical center. You can give them a call if you have any questions. 727-826-0838. You'll get a free 15-minute consultation with that call. 727-826-0838. And just by going on the website, PeaksOfHealth.com, you can learn more about Dr. Tracy and address any of the issues right there on the website, and you can give them a call. Are there any home tests that people can take to assess that risk or that future risk of Alzheimer's?
There is a blood test you can take. It's an actual genetic blood test that actually shows whether you're more prone to develop Alzheimer's genetically. We do that on some of our patients that have family histories of Alzheimer's. There is no home test you can do other than maybe there's some computer programs that can allow you to kind of test your memory.
Sometimes people do real or fake. Is it real or is it fake? Accurate or not accurate? Are those home tests accurate or are they not accurate?
I don't think so. I think people can manipulate those. Some of the testing that they've done on the brains, actually, the ones that I've seen where they're more sophisticated testing and they're testing the energy levels of the brain. Now, that can be done, but you have to do that through a physician who's, you know, proficient in it. And they actually hook electrodes up to your brain to actually measure the actual electrical outcome to see where that's coming on.
So don't load up and stock up on all the home tests. That's not fairly
accurate. That's not going to do it very well.
What are ways to prevent Alzheimer's or slow the progression if you already have it?
Well, again, one of the biggest things we do is we do things that stimulate, you know, some of the proteins in the brain. We use a product called EHT that increases tau protein in the brain. It's been actually developed by Princeton University. The studies show that it actually helps reverse some of these changes in the brain chemistry for Alzheimer's and helps, you know, rebuild that system. Vitamin B12 is really important for brain chemistry. So it's something that we can actually make sure the patient can take. If they have the MTHFR gene that we have, you know, discussed multiple times previously on other shows, that is a risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. And again, that's because the patient cannot get that activated B vitamins into their brain that's necessary for the chemistry. We can just replace those. Omega-3 fatty acids, medium chain triglycerides like coconut oil, very, very important for the brain because the brain is made of fat, you know, so you need to get good, healthy fat into that brain so it can actually function. And again, look to see if they have insulin resistance, you know, so that we can turn around and reverse that process and keep their insulin levels normal so that we can keep that beta amyloid, you know, built up and it's not being broken down.
They call it diabetes 3, like you said, Alzheimer's. What do we see most patients that get Alzheimer's eventually that they had diabetes 1 or 2 previously?
In many cases, you know, they are very, very significantly linked. It doesn't mean that everybody that gets Alzheimer's is going to have diabetes, but a large percentage of them do. You know, so again, that's one of the things that is really, really important to look at. Vitamin D deficiency, you know, is one of the things too. So we do look at their vitamin D levels. You know, so we also use things like we use one called PQQ, which has again been shown to repair some of the proteins and repair some of the tissue in the brain. So that's been very helpful for our traumatic brain injuries and for our Alzheimer's patients.
What are some of the early indicators of Alzheimer's? Obviously, we're talking about memory loss. What are some other things people should look out for?
For men, we always look at their testosterone levels. Testosterone is so important for brain chemistry in men and for brain function. And again, low testosterone has been heavily linked into Alzheimer's patients. So we do look at those levels. If the patient, again, is really just starting to forget, you know, simple things, short-term memory, you got to remember the short-term memory goes. When we were looking at researching Alzheimer's when my father had it, an important point that somebody pointed out to me was when they really go into the later stages in it, they remember themselves at that age. So they're going to remember their children at that age as when they left, what period of time they're in. They don't recognize you because you don't look like that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if they look in a mirror, they don't recognize themselves because they're seeing themselves as a 30-year-old, not as the 70-year-old.
There's the BA and AA before Alzheimer's and after.
Exactly. Alzheimer's. So what they did is they actually would put up pictures of the people at that age period. So they would, and then they would be able to recognize who those people are again.
One of the sadder things you could ever experience is having to deal with that. And if you guys can go out there and prevent it from happening, like Dr. Tracy, a lot of stuff is personally connected to her, as is this. You definitely want to reach out and get help. peaksofhealth.com. Check out that website. If you can help yourself and prevent this from happening in the future, at least take steps. If you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you should definitely do that. 727-826-0838. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. We're going to continue that talk on Alzheimer's in the next segment. We're also going to have my favorite segment, In the News with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. More next. Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Hope you're all having a great weekend as we are. And the show was a lot better today because Dr. Oz joined us. And Dr. Tracy, thank you for that, because you've really brought some great content to the table. We've had Suzanne Summers on before. We've talked with her. And now to have Dr. Oz, you've really brought some great guests to the table. So we all thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And today we're talking, after the Dr. Oz interview, we got into the subject of Alzheimer's. We talked with Dr. Oz about diabetes, and Dr. Tracy was linking Alzheimer's and diabetes. We were going over some indicators, early indicators. What are some other indicators, Dr. Tracy, for Alzheimer's?
Well, we talked about, the short-term memory, forgetting recent things, asking the same information over and over. You know, they'd start developing problems with, developing plans or following numbers. They start, losing things and the ability to retrace steps, decreased judgment. So they'll start spending money on things they normally wouldn't have spent money on, especially if, they're getting the telemarketing thing, they'll like really buy everything. They withdraw. One thing I noticed with my father is he was heavily into the computer. He loved computers. I mean, he went to computer clubs, but he started to stop using the computer. And we realized he couldn't remember his password to get into the computer.
And is it they're embarrassed that they don't want to reveal that?
They're embarrassed about it. So they start withdrawing from their social activities, their hobbies, work projects, things like that. And you can also have, again, changes in mood and personality. They can become very, suspicious and fearful and anxious of different things. They can also become accusatory of things. They start getting paranoid about certain things.
And that's got to be frustrating for all parties.
It does. It's very, very hard on the caretaker and very, hard on, the person. My dad had a very, very high IQ. So for him to realize what was happening to him was very scary for him.
Yeah.
So again, in the beginning, they know it's happening, in the end, they are happy as can be because they're just clueless.
Yeah. And that's something that's very sad. And if there are ways to prevent it, you want to take those. And that's something that you explore, Dr. Tracy.
It does. It's something that, again, we try to get ahead of it because, while the brain is still functioning and it is there, that's when you want to go ahead and start trying to do this repair process and start healing it. And that's when you have the most option to slow down the process or even reverse some of it.
And how long if we've seen people in cases you've seen, how long does it take to reverse that process? Have we seen any of that?
You can actually see people significantly improve within 4 to 6 months, but again, it depends on how far they are. I mean, you're not going to take somebody who's almost end stage Alzheimer's and reverse them.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. The brain is too damaged by that point. But if you get somebody in these early signs and symptoms when they're still functioning, we did do some things, with my father where he started recognizing things, but I knew we were never going to get him back to where he was. And we did prolong the process for a long time. You know, he should have progressed a lot faster. He lasted probably 5 or 6 years more than he would have. But again, it's a lot of new research is coming out since then.
What's the earliest, the youngest case of Alzheimer's you've ever experienced yourself?
The earliest that we've seen has been in the late 40s.
Late 40s, and what's that like? What's that progression like? Is it faster? Is it slower?
It is faster, and I think, you know, this particular one was associated with not only drug use previously, but also a traumatic brain injury previously. So I think it was a combination of several things that accelerated.
All those factors can come in. What about people that just deal with memory loss? I'm 25 years old. Sometimes I can't remember things. I have to write notes. I have notes all over my apartment because I'll forget things. So if I write a note, it will be there. But I know myself, I don't have Alzheimer's, or at least I hope I don't. It's something that's got to scare people, especially in their 40s and 50s.
And somebody who, you know, we always look into what is affecting memory. And with, you know, you, we know sleep is a big affected.
Yes.
You know, you produce your memory in your sleep. So if you don't get that adequate sleep, your body doesn't form its memories from the previous day. You know, it's why I used to tell all my, you know, students when they're studying, don't do the all-nighter. You're going to really do poorly on the test, because if you do, you haven't formed the memory. You have no recall of what you just learned through the night.
But of course, they decided to wait to the last minute to study.
Exactly.
So they're cramming it in and they have to. So that's another reason why you shouldn't study at the end.
So yeah, it's another reason why you should actually study as you go.
Don't procrastinate. All right, that was a lot of interesting stuff on Alzheimer's. If you want to check out more information, you make sure to check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. But now it's time, as we always do with Dr. Tracy, in the news. And Dr. Tracy, what's going on in the news this week?
Well, again, this is something that we've known for quite some time, but it's interesting to see the articles pop up about it. And these are two different articles that have popped up just in the last month on vitamin D decreasing cancer risk. So we've known for quite some time that, you know, adequate levels of vitamin D will significantly decrease your risk of certain cancers. The mechanism has been because it increases what we call natural killer cells. And natural killer cells are in your body what fights cancer cells. You know, so we actually measure that in a lot of our patients. But this first study, you know, was showing that it actually produced higher rates of colon cancer with people with low vitamin D levels. And so that was really interesting that they've actually shown that. And we've, you know, it showed in certain cancers, one of the studies showed up to an 80% risk reduction of breast cancer, prostate cancer with vitamin D levels over the level of 55.
So what does that mean?
It means that if the, you know, we look at somebody, and again, we're really proactive. If we see somebody with a vitamin D level in their 20s, we know that we need to get that level up there to kind of help, again, prevent their problems. You know, so if we can keep those levels above 55, you get full benefit of vitamin D, it's turn on those natural killer cells, and you can actually have significant risk reduction of getting prostate or breast cancer or lung cancer. Certain brain cancers have been involved. Melanoma has been significantly involved. And melanoma is huge in the state of Florida. And what's interesting about that is, you know, think about what we just did to our cells. Melanoma is stimulated by UVA rays, you know, and all of our vitamin D is absorbed by UVB rays. Most of the sunscreen we used to use is all UVB protection. So we blocked all the UVB. We let all the UVA in, and we had an explosion of melanoma, and we wonder why.
Yep.
You know, and so that's one of the things that, you know, is really important in Florida, because we don't get as much, you know, proper sun, and we don't generate as much vitamin D, and almost everybody's deficient that I test. I haven't found one patient that was optimal vitamin D levels without supplementation in the state of Florida.
And what seems to be a consistent theme is how important and vital vitamin D can be to many things.
Exactly. So again, especially when we're talking about melanoma, if in the state of Florida, you want to keep those vitamin D levels up there.
Get your vitamin D. That's what I'm hearing. Right, Dr. Tracy?
Absolutely. Have it tested.
Have it tested and go see them at Peaks of Health. Peaksofhealth.com. Go check them out. Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Give them a call, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. Dr. Oz, what a great guest. Dr. Tracy, what a great show.
Well, thank you. It's been an awesome day.
Everyone, hope you got some great information, as I know you did. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com, during the week. And any questions, you make sure to call them and come join us next week on the Dr. Tracy Show. Have a great week, everyone.